Uh-oh. Sounds like somebody's got a case of the munders.
What would you say you do here?
Monday, Monday, can't trust that day. Monday, Monday, sometimes it just turns out that way. Oh, Monday morning, you gave me no warning of what was to be. Oh, Monday, Monday, how could you leave and not take me?
I have people skills. I am good at dealing with people. Can't you understand that? What the hell is wrong with you people?
Every other day of the week is fine, yeah. But whenever Monday comes, you can finally cry all of the time. Monday, Monday.
It's not Monday. We know it's Tuesday. But the gray area delayed by the holiday. And delayed an hour just because my brain hasn't woken up yet. Still working on that. Did somebody tell Gray he had to work today? He's here somewhere. Everything's delayed today.
Every other day. Every other day of the week is fine.
I haven't had this feeling about the gray area yet in the 6 or 7 shows that we've done gray, but I'm a little fearful today because my brain is sputtering like a lawnmower in spring on the first start. It's just
Prime it, Joel.
It's not close.
Push that little button thingy 6 times. Not 8 times. I know it's
funny. You should say that as I drink a little bottle of Prime here.
No. If anything deserves a free plug, it's not that.
All right. Appreciate that. How we doing, Gray?
Good morning. How's Joel today?
We're getting there. I had a really good weekend. Like I told people this morning, when you have a really good weekend, you're able to turn your brain off from your normal work and stuff like that. Getting back into it that following Monday or Tuesday is, it's a little tough. We're here.
I'm a caffeine addict, Joel, so I've got a clear path to whatever energy I might ever need. And I made it yesterday. It's in a 1/2-gallon jug in the fridge, that iced coffee. A little too much almond this time around, but plenty of caffeine.
Almond.
Yeah.
Is it almond? Is the L silent in almond?
It's really early to be asking a question so unnecessary, but no, the L is not silent.
Oh, they should have put 2 L's in there just to make it very clear that they wanted you to say the L because So last week, I said something out of the blue that seemed to irritate you, and I said this morning. I mentioned to you that my wife stumbled upon making spaghetti with angel hair pasta, and immediately, if there could have been lasers coming out of your eyes, I would have felt it. I felt a little bit disgust on the side of Greg Gunderson when I revealed that.
You hit close to home. You were talking about how you weren't sure there was a big difference aside from the thickness of angel hair and normal spaghetti and thin spaghetti, and there are different. It's kind of like eggs. There's certainly more different thicknesses and sizes than there probably needs to be, but once preference becomes involved, then people will argue just for the sake of it, and you can raise prices on the back of that. So we've got 3 kinds of spaghetti that you can commonly find, and there's probably more than that.
So does angel hair pasta have a different taste to it than regular pasta?
It seems to. Yes. I wouldn't have thought so, but it sure seems to, and we've been eating, we're a thin spaghetti household, not angel hair, not normal spaghetti, thin, right in the middle there, and we tried that pot-sized spaghetti, they call it, that it's basically half as long as most other noodles, and they just, you know, it's the same amount of spaghetti overall, but they basically break it in half for you because sliced bread wasn't enough of a coddling for you. You can now get pre-broken spaghetti, and we did that because we need that coddling. But
now, when you make spaghetti at home, and this, my wife looked at me the first time when I did this when we had met, I take the spaghetti, I take the long pasta, and I break it in half.
Yep.
And then throw it in there because that way I don't have to do the...
Yeah.
I'm not into that.
You do this because you're a rational, sane individual, Joel.
What about the bag of... A bag of ramen noodles. I will take a bag of ramen noodles and I will smash it. And my wife's in the other room and she's like, all right, that's enough. And I'll smash and smash and smash again because I'm breaking it into smaller pieces.
That's too small. I take the ramen and I mean, it's folded in half. So I bust it back in half. So I kind of do the same thing I do with spaghetti, break it in half. If it's going all to right. be a long noodle like that, half is usually pretty solid because it's long enough to grab. If you bust it up like that, I mean, at that point, I'm thinking of a spoon, you know, like, I don't know. I think you take it too far.
I don't know why it is, but the spaghetti tasted different with angel hair pasta because maybe because it's just the pasta's spread out more so the spaghetti sauce can have a more of a flavor. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know if it's the obvious reason, but yes, absolutely. Having tried all three. So we are a thin spaghetti household. We tried that pot-sized spaghetti, which is normal thickness, so we accidentally tried normal thickness in our bid to try shorter length and discovered we didn't like the taste of normal thickness spaghetti. Thor specifically is angel hair. He's angel hair all the way. He only does angel hair. It matters. And I don't know if he'll tell you the taste is much different. I think it's more of a texture thing, but I'm betting there's a taste differential there too. In fact, I've spotted one, but maybe that's just a like a placebo thing, like an illusion. I expect it to taste different.
All right, this went a lot better than I thought it was going to. I thought we were going to be off to an ugly start today.
I told you there is absolutely a debate, if only in my own head, and I'm ready to put it out there.
So today's menu has angel hair pasta with a side of perler beads.
Yes, okay, yes, perler beads. I stole Rachel's hobby over the weekend. Uh-oh. Absolutely right out from under her.
How does she feel about this?
Well, it's been great for her because I've been giving her all the stuff and making her all kinds of things. I've made so many perler bead mushrooms. And in fact, you could make just about anything with perler beads, except there is one thing that you cannot make with perler beads.
Okay.
Friends. No. So if you're not familiar, perler beads, I spent like 6 hours sorting those darn things by color, and it is not an extroverted activity. That said, like anything, you could absolutely find a community of people who do perler beads.
So it's a stay away hobby? It's like stay away from my perler bead hobby?
Yeah, basically. Oh, yeah. I mean, keep the cats away from my 100%. No, but perler beads are basically plastic beads that you can arrange on a little board that has little pokey pegs on it that hold them. And then once you've got them arranged, think color by number sort of thing, but without the color by number. You can absolutely find templates and stuff online, but people just kind of freeform it, and then you iron them and they melt a little bit and they stick together because you've melted this plastic together.
So is this kind of a different version of diamond art?
It's very similar to diamond painting.
All right.
Most diamond painters, at least as I understand it initially, if maybe they end up going off of just a naked grid later, but they generally start off with a template on paper, so you're kind of matching color to color. Right. There's probably that out there with perler beads, but in most cases, you just get a bucket of 6,000 perler beads like that. The bucket of chaos. I sorted one of those stupid things, and I became the stupid thing by spending so much time sorting one of those.
It's like a bucket of those little sucky candies that got bananas and oranges and stuff. It looks like that is what it looks
ours
like.
Ours was a 6,000 bucket, so it wasn't quite that big, but imagine a bucket of 6,000 anything. Uh-huh. And I could tell you there's probably about 50 different colors in that bucket. And I had to identify and sort all of those colors into these tackle boxes that we got. And then it felt like that South Park character. Now we can play the game. Like, now I can actually have fun because I've spent 10 hours sorting these. It's actually really fun, really rewarding. Made Rachel a bunch of little mushrooms and did an artsy sort of thing.
P-E-R-L-E-R, perler beads.
Pretty sure that's a brand name. And it's going to become, they call them fuse beads. That's there are generic versions of them. Hobby Lobby does it. It's you iron plastic beads in a way that somehow seems safe and like I'm not coating myself with microplastics.
But again, it's a good, it sounds like it's just a nice diversion. Just let your brain take a little rest and just do something if you're not thinking about everything else in your life and the world.
Threw on an audiobook, sat there with Rachel and just kind of relaxed and didn't have a screen showing us anything.
Yeah.
It was very, very nice, relaxing. Don't sort perler beads though. Just spend the extra money for the pre-sorted ones. It's like $3 more. It's worth it. Trust me. Trust me.
The gray area with Greg Gunderson there, Joel Karnick, me. We do, normally do this Monday mornings in the 8 o'clock hour, but I wasn't coming in yesterday. So Greg was. I think you were here, weren't you?
You betcha.
He was here, but I wasn't. Another menu item, again, all unpriced because it's a fancy restaurant. Phone onion. Phone onion.
So this acquired momentum way quicker than I thought. I don't want to over-dramatize it. My phone is on the fritz, and I thought that it might just be one of those things where my aging phone is starting to just unlock new signs of aging, but no, like, so I've got a 5-year-old cell phone, and I thought it's actually been performing remarkably well. Back when I got it, it was way better than it should have been for how cheap it was, and I've loved it, and I thought I'll use this thing until it really starts to die. And that's usually what I've done. I haven't tossed away any phones that haven't been, like, ready to go quite yet. And, well, this one, what started to happen was the battery started to die even faster than it has been. And it's 5 years old. It hasn't been getting through the day for a while now. But all of a sudden, it hasn't been getting through a couple hours. And I thought, that's scary because I don't want my pocket to start on fire the way you find on those grainy news footage reels.
Exactly.
Yeah, I'm going to be that next guy with just a hole in my left thigh. But that started, and then it started to vibrate.
I'm just imagining something walking down the street, and their pocket is just a rectangular area on their thigh is flaming.
Yep, basically. Oh, like a smoke grenade from the CIA just dropped right in there and pin-pulled let go, and I didn't know about it.
Right.
That's exactly my nightmare with this. But I've been able to justify it that I've kind of abused the charging system on this phone. I've used the turbocharger since I got it, so it's on its way out after 5 years. Then the vibration system changed. All of a sudden, when it tries to vibrate, it barely vibrates at all, but it makes a lot of noise. The little motor that spins, it goes, vroom, vroom. I thought, uh-oh, buddy, you're trying, and that's a bad sign. But I thought, hey, that's 5 years old. That, again, I kind of just justified it.
Yeah.
I told myself, you know, I'll just chew on the other side, you know? Like, I can deal with this. And then it stopped making sound.
Mm.
All sound. Nothing. All right. Videos, ringing, Snapchat notification, nothing. Absolutely. I thought, okay, writing's on the wall. Ordered a new phone. Maybe did a dumb thing and ordered the same phone, but the new model year from last year. That said, this thing has been great for 5 years, so I still expect. And it's still, the new model's cheap. And then it stopped, vibrating. Depending, I restart this thing all the time because every once in a while, sometimes the camera works. Except now the camera doesn't work. It tells me the camera's in use all the time, and so the flashlight doesn't work. And all kinds of things just randomly don't work. And I thought, at least I'm on Wi-Fi, and at least it has Bluetooth, and at least it still charges. Because one of those three things, I'm going to need to move all of my photos and all of my contacts over when I get the new phone.
It sounds like being the manager of an unorganized, overcrowded daycare.
This phone was fine until last week, Joel. This thing was treating me just fine. That's why I'm saying this has acquired momentum so much quicker than I anticipated. But I've already got it ordered. It's actually, the new phone is supposed to be delivered today, and all of a sudden this thing has stopped connecting to things by Bluetooth. And I thought, oh no.
That's it.
Because as I'm aware, the primary method when you get a new phone these days is basically to let them cuddle for a couple hours and let them connect by Bluetooth for things to transfer.
Cuddle's a good word, yeah.
And if that can't happen, then I've got to cuddle this thing for a few days while I transfer over contact one at a time.
Oh, that's not fun.
Oh, and we haven't even gotten to the delivery, Joel. That's why it's an onion, because there are layers to this. That's okay. Why I put it in the list as phone onion. So episode 2 is the delivery.
All right. Coming soon to a gray area near you. Did you catch the Wiener 500 over the weekend? And I say that assuming that maybe you had heard about it.
Well,
the Indianapolis 500 over the weekend.
So I basically put that topic on the list because I saw that there was coming a Wiener 500. Or a Wienermobile 500. Wienie 500.
Yeah, there's apparently like 5 or 6 Wienermobiles, the Oscar Mayer Wiener. My baloney has a first name. It's B-O-L. Yeah, OSCA. That song, that thing. They travel all around the country. They were in Phillips years ago. I got a free hot dog from it in Phillips.
They pop up now and again. They always get photographed.
Yeah. So there's six of them, and they raced at the Indianapolis 500. Maximum speed. What do you think the maximum speed is for the Wienermobile during this race?
Oh, geez. Okay, so I'm going to cheat and use the footage we're watching, but there is no speed listed here. I'm just going by reference. I'm going to say that looks like 55 at most. Like, that looks like an unreasonable highway speed you don't want to get stuck behind. 54. Yeah.
They were saying that they were going about 70. Apparently, they have the ability to go over 100. I'm not sure why that would ever be, but I guess they were going about 70 or so.
No hot dog ever needs to go over 100 miles an hour. That's just not something that the universe demands.
I don't see much rubbing. I don't see any intense. I think that was the number one rule of the people who are probably college interns. The number one rule of these people driving the Wienermobile is, please don't hit another Wienermobile.
Yeah. I know, as they say, rubbin's racing, but at the Wienie 500, I doubt it's as smiled upon.
So six Wienermobiles at the Indianapolis 500 over the weekend. I'm not a big race fan. I'm such not a race fan that I tuned in yesterday thinking I was going to watch the Indy 500, and then I asked Alexa when it was, and she said it was yesterday. So I missed it.
That's just it, is that I put this on the topic list last week just because I wanted to bask in the light of a world where this had occurred, whether either of us had taken it in over the weekend. I just wanted to enjoy that it had happened, and now we have.
Oh, the Wienermobiles on display. More of the Gray Area coming up. Joel and Gray, we're going to hang around till 10 o'clock talking about whatever else. What else? I want to talk a little NIL on the menu, and also we want to talk a little
weird flavors of bacon, maybe?
Weird flavors of bacon, and does anybody, we got to talk, always got to talk a little NFL. Does anybody believe in the Browns?
No.
They'll ever be good? And this is the time that they probably will turn it around and win 14 games.
Probably, but the prediction I saw earlier today blew my mind. Before the season has even begun, people have decided it's over.
All right, more of the Gray Area coming up here on 98.
Having trouble balancing your books? Fear not. MVB is here. Maine's Virtual Bookkeeping brings affordable, secure, stress-free service right to your screen. No suits, no pressure, just solid numbers that make sense. Whether you're behind, overwhelmed, or just tired of guessing, MVB has your back. Call 813-562-1839 today. That's 813-562-1839. Maine's Virtual Bookkeeping. Making your numbers behave so you don't have to. Visit mainsvrbookkeeper.com now for all your accounting and bookkeeping needs. Get control, stay focused, and let MVB handle the math.
Log United Booster Club is proudly supported by Fast Tracks Excavating in Phillips and have been serving the local community since 2005. They always support our local sports athletes and teams.
Northwoods Community Credit Union, serving northern Wisconsin communities since 1953. Hi, I'm Sally. Starting from the basement of Lawrence Draxler's home to a commercial building on Highway 13 in Park Falls and Main Street in Ashland, today our longevity is member-owned, driven, backed by an experienced financial team, a strong board, and volunteer groups who put the members and community first. How far we have come. You can still write a check, walk in and make a deposit, get a loan, withdraw money, save money, or you can utilize our advanced services by using remote deposit, mobile, and online banking, online bill pay, and also apply for a loan online, all in your PJs at your own convenience. Northwoods Community Credit Union, membership required, federally insured by NCUA.
The Schultz auction is happening now at heckmanauction.com. After the loss of her husband, Don, Mrs. Schultz is moving in. Nearly 1,800 lots are up for bid. This massive two-part auction ends June 1st and 2nd, and it's loaded with value. A New Holland tractor, 2022 Can-Am UTV, Toyota FJ Cruiser, RV, trailers, firearms, generators, model kits, survival food kits, vehicles, and so much more. Bid on vehicles, antiques, equipment, and collectibles. Go to heckmanauction.com now. Heckman Auction. Heck yeah!
The graduating class of Winter, Wisconsin has shown heart, hard work, and true hometown pride. As these young adults take their next steps, whether it's college, careers, or new adventures, Winter Cooperative on Main Street stands proud behind them, offering everything from groceries to hardware and more. The co-op is one-stop shop with a full hardware section and friendly service. Winter Cooperative, hometown proud, here for them, and here for good. The Park Falls Family Restaurant proudly salutes the Schwamigan Screaming Eagles graduating class of 2025. What a special shout out to Alex Martin. Just like the Eagles, the class has shown heart, hustle, and hunger for success. Whether it's breakfast, lunch, or dinner, they're always serving up something great. Now with a new Mexican menu to try. Veterans always receive 10% off as a thank you for your service. Open daily at 7 a.m., Park Falls Family Restaurant is proud to serve and celebrate this incredible class.
Get in the zone, AutoZone.
Welcome to Bundle Deal Days at AutoZone.
Well, I do need a bundle of things.
When you bundle, you save.
Do I save if I bundle oil with an oil filter?
Save up to $12 on that bundle.
What about brake pads and rotors?
Bundle those and the brake pads are free.
Can't save more than free.
You can save on hundreds of deals during Bundle Deal Days. Ends June 2nd at AutoZone.
Get in the zone, AutoZone.
Restrictions apply. Duralast brake pads only.
Your roof takes a beating from all kinds of weather. Regardless, Hixwood's got your back. Our Super Rib 100 American-made steel outlasts corrosion 60% better than others. Topped with an HDPE paint system that won't quit or fade. For any building and your peace of mind, call Hixwood. Quality you can count on. Visit us online at Hixwood.com or call 715-644-0765.
The annual Brewer Bus Trip is back. Join us Saturday, June 21st as we travel to downtown Minneapolis to watch the Brewers take on the Twins. Space is limited, so grab your spot today. This is a one-day adventure. Cost is $100, which includes your ticket, parking, and a comfortable ride on a Krug tour bus. Call today to reserve your spot. 715-762-3221. Brewer Bus Trip 2025. Saturday, June 21st with 98Q Country and Trail Mix 103.1 FM.
Logger United Booster Club is proudly supported by Forward Bank of Phillips and Park Falls, who build strong foundations in the community and offer an array of unique services. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
It is going to be cloudy today with a few sprinkles possible this afternoon. We'll get to around 70 for a high with wind southeast at 5 to 10. Tonight, a few showers, low of 47. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy with showers in the morning, a little more sunshine in the afternoon with a high right around 70. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable.
Temperature now 52.
More of the gray area, special Tuesday edition. Normally Monday mornings at 8, we have all the shows podcasted at 98qcountry.com if you want to listen back. I'm a little bit leery about what to delve into next on the menu. I don't think I'm ready for sports yet.
I don't blame you. I'm pretty intense when that happens.
Tea and ice cream sandwiches. Is that you or me?
That was 100% okay. Me.
All right.
That was a move that I made yesterday. And like, you know when you spin the loaf of bread and you tuck it under and everybody has that organic moment where they kind of discover that on their own and it feels like you invented something, but no, you didn't. Everybody does that. Well, I kind of had a moment like that that just kind of went a different direction. I had a different, like, I had a similar buildup. But yesterday I've been showering at night, and that's kind of its own new adventure. But I was showering first yesterday. Rachel wanted to as well. She's been showering at night for a long time, but I was basically holding her up.
I had no idea that the subject tea and ice cream sandwiches was going to lead to the line that I shower at night. But go, keep going.
Nothing if not distractible. but that's the necessary groundwork, Joel. You know storytelling better than anybody. You should know what I'm doing right now.
Right.
So started doing that, and I was basically holding Rachel up because it had gotten to be a little bit of a late night yesterday with all the fun over the weekend and stuff. And I wanted to have a cup of tea, but Rachel had said that she was kind of waiting for me to shower. And I thought, okay, how can we balance this out? Well, we had also decided we were having takeout for dinner. We had gotten ice cream sandwiches from Moose Jaw where we'd gotten dinner last night. And I thought, okay, how do I speed up this process of eating my snack, having my tea? Cool. Hot tea with the ice cream sandwich.
mm-hmm. That'll work. I can balance it out. That way I don't have to consume either of them slowly. And I'll tell you, Joel, it worked. I had a normal ice cream sandwich that probably, you know, it's that probably get for a dollar out of any gas station freezer, but it was somehow delicious at the same time because it tastes like your childhood. And it was the first one of the summer, so perfect there. And it was a blackberry tea that mixed phenomenally. It tasted like I was eating like kind of a blackberry flavored ice cream sandwich. And I realized halfway through, as I'm like consuming both of these at a record pace because of what their temperature difference allows, yeah, that I am an insane person. It kind of strikes me. I'm like, what am I doing right now? Like, what part of myself am I indulging? Because it's not even hunger. Like, this is just all of my eccentricities in one moment. I couldn't have scheduled what I've done better. Just, I don't know. There was it. I kind of stepped outside my body and I thought, this is weird, dude. You need to examine this. And then people, I finished it anyway and I completed both.
And if people don't know Greg, he's like Bunsen, Honeydew, and Beaker when it comes to food. You like to mix and match and the chocolate, the mousse. And
For no good reason.
You love that.
Not born of any education or goodwill. It's just, I like what happens when you mess with things and get unexpectedly good results. And so I mess with things with like I said, no guidance, education, or really any good ideas, but still every once in a while.
Yeah, I don't know if other people are this way, but when I traveled over the weekend down to over to Minneapolis to see a Twins game. And I don't know if other people are this way, but when I travel, especially when I travel alone, food is my weakness, all right? Mm-hmm. Because when I'm traveling, I think to myself, you know, I should probably mix in a banana or an apple or a salad or some point. But when the weekend's over and I look back at the ridiculous things that I ate and I realize why my stomach is burning, I think I just can't. I can't travel through a big city and stop and get a salad. That's not me. I have to have the two taco deal at Taco John's. See, I get, and that's what I do. And I have the big hot dog at the ballpark. And maybe it's good. Maybe it's good to indulge in that once in a while. But I try to force myself to at least stop at Quick Trip and grab a banana. It's just like, come on, Joel, just something here. Don't do this to your body.
Well, I think not to go there, but it starts at home. Like, if you're not eating salad at home, you're not gonna eat salad on a road trip. Like, that's just not the vibe. You're not gonna be more strict when your entire life is spent in a metal box. You know, like. It's like think of the airport energy. Think of the terminal. There's people with mimosas in business suits at 9:30 a.m. They're jet lagged. They're on other things that you can't see in their hand in their cup. But like, it's just all rules out the window. There's kind of a similar vibe, even if you're alone when you're traveling. It's the traveling vibe.
And the problem is my wife does most of the cooking at her house. So basically when I'm out and about traveling by myself, I it's like I'm single. You know, it's like I'm single and I'm cooking for myself, and this is probably what I would do when I got cheese popcorn to travel with in the car. And you know, I look at chocolate milk as a healthy option. That's just what I do.
You know, I'm picturing you when Shayna leaves the house. You know, Blake is away now most of the time. So Shayna leaves the house. You're alone with the dog and the cat, and you're gonna rock out. What are you gonna do? We're gonna play some loud music. On the stereo, maybe the Clash. We're going to play the Clash. We're going to bop our head a little bit, and we're going to hurt our neck immediately.
Like, exactly. I'm going to drink that beer that's been in the back of the fridge for 3 months. Yeah. I might even smoke that cigar that will probably just poof, go up in smoke because it's been sitting there for 2 years. As soon as I put a match to it, it'll just whew, poof, gone.
You might even revel in it enough to let out a
woo. That's right. A little Ric Flair. All right, we've gone long enough without talking sports, so let's talk about the goodness. Browns. People have already mathematically eliminated the Browns from the playoffs. Is that what I'm getting from this?
I don't know about mathematically, but I'm already seeing people naming the Browns' effort to tank this season so that they can draft Arch Manning first overall next year.
Oh,
there's already names. There's already names for that. You know, every time there's the tank commander kind of thing, but it's planning for Manning.
So they've already given up on Sanders, or something.
Well, the NFL media that closely follows the Browns already suspects that the Browns are likely to use one of their two first-round picks, at least to some degree. And, of course, it varies by writer. But I've already seen three different mentions about the Browns interested in Arch Manning. And keep in mind, the Browns, who have two first-round picks in next year's draft as it currently stands, added four quarterbacks in this offseason.
Mm-hmm.
And we're months away from the kickoff. Like, we have no idea what's coming. Shedeur Sanders might actually not be too bad. But we're going to see him. We're going to see him this
season.
We're
going to find out. Yeah, they're going to give him a shot. There's no doubt about it.
The other three they added, of course, they drafted Dylan Gabriel in the third round before adding Sanders in the fifth. They also added a 40-year-old Joe Flacco and Kenny Pickett, former backup for the Eagles and rough starter for the Steelers. So
it's going to be the... I mean, is there any eye contact at all in that quarterback room between those guys? Is there anybody looking at each other?
Fatalism. It's like death row in there, Joel. That's
got to be a horrible I mean, you know, they'll probably put up a front that they're cheering for each other and whatever.
Yeah.
Joe Flacco probably doesn't care, but Sanders has to be looking around like, I'm the man. I'm the man. What are you all doing here?
Well, that's Shedeur Sanders. But hey, that might actually translate into some success. We can't pretend that some. I mean, look at Dion. Look at prima donna wide receivers that pop up and disappear every 3 years or so. There's something to be said for the mentality that I am the best. That the idea that I'm not the best doesn't work for everybody. Humility is clearly the way for some NFL players, but not many of them play receiver, cornerback, or anything popular.
I'm ready for a bold prediction here on the gray area. And then you may not consider this a bold prediction, but I predict that in the NFC North Division this coming year, that one of the three teams, the Vikings, Lions, or Packers, one of those three is going to finish under 500.
Ooh.
And
when I
came to that realization, I thought to myself, okay, which one of those three is the most likely to finish under 500 if you were to put Vegas odds on it? And I begrudgingly admitted to myself in my brain that it's probably the Vikings because of the question of J.J. McCarthy at quarterback. That's probably the one.
Right now, I would argue that simply because the Packers have seen almost no turnover. There are basically two or three significant players from last year who aren't returning, absent Jaire Alexander. But, like, none of them are, I mean, our run defense. Anyway, the players we're losing are on defense or not very consequential. So not a huge chance that much looks very different unless we just cannot stop the run next season. And we've made steps to stop that. You guys, you've lost your quarterback. The Bears have kept some pretty decent continuity in their personnel and got some coaching upgrades. So they, I think, are poised for the biggest leap forward. The Vikings and the Lions are both, for very different reasons, poised for potential steps backward. However, I think the Lions have the coaching, even after their losses, to keep it intact. You can't coach players that aren't ready to start, though. And is J.J. McCarthy that guy? We don't know.
And the big reason I make that prediction is largely due to the fact that the NFC North's out of division schedule is harder this year than it was. You're not, if the Packers go 1-5 in the division this year, they're not going to do what they did last year and win all those games outside, because the out of division games are a lot tougher this year.
Agreed. At least looking at it as it currently stands, we might be looking at a completely different complexion from last season and only know that after 3, 4, 5, even 6 or 7 weeks. You know, it's amazing. Look at the Bears last season. They didn't win a game until they torched us in the final game after that gloating almost interception moment. And so they were on a 5-win streak. I think, were they undefeated at that point, or were they 1-loss at that point? They were doing great, and then they absolutely fumbled the entire season away. So you don't know what kind of change is coming, and what currently looks like a difficult portion of our schedule might look like cake.
Yeah.
After a first month or two.
All right. More on the sports side. People may not realize this, but we're making history. We're on the verge of making history in Major League Baseball, where the Colorado Rockies have played 54 games this year, and they have won 9 games, 9 out of 54. They've been outscored by a run differential of 173, which is getting beat by over three runs per game, which is crazy. To give you an idea, the White Sox were the worst team in baseball last year, and they probably would be. Well, they would be the worst team in baseball this year. They're 17-37. They've been outscored by 51 runs in those 17 wins. The Rockies are not only losing, they are, baseball experts are saying this is the worst team that they have seen in 50, 60 years in the modern day baseball, the Colorado Rockies.
Sounds like we were due for a quality stinker to break the streak.
Yeah, I think we are. You got to go all the way back to the Cleveland Spiders back in like 1899. They won like 20 games or something like that.
Cleveland Spiders.
Yeah, which is a great name, by the way.
Is that real?
It is, yeah.
Okay, see, that's the thing about baseball, Joel. You've got to understand, to the fan who has somehow not at all experienced like anything, there's just some ridiculous things that come out of the mouths of baseball fans. It's just like, did you really, that sounded like you made it up for television. The Cleveland Spiders? Like, come on. That's a Disney movie.
Yeah.
Like, come on.
Yeah. They don't consider them to be the modern day baseball era, whatever that means.
Oh, were they like a dead ball era team that didn't make it into the...
Yeah, they were probably throwing like wiffle balls around or something. It was really squishy. I don't know what they were doing back then. So
chewing a lot of tobacco, Joel.
I don't think they knew what they were doing. And on the sports side, again, we mentioned this a few weeks back when we talked to Jimmy Cuska, but name, image, likeness is officially a part now of Wisconsin high school sports, by the way. It was passed. So it is now legal for a high school athlete in the state of Wisconsin to accept sponsorship money from someone and represent that business. They will not be able to represent the school. For instance, Joel Karnick, if I was a senior in high school, I couldn't go down to like Wheelway and say, hey, I'm Joel and I'm a Boyceville High School basketball player. You can't do that. You're just your own name. You're not attaching the school with it. But the option is out there now. If an area business knows of a good athlete in anywhere in the world and you want to bring him in and pay him a lot of money to come to Park Falls and play for Shawamigan or Phillips and pay for the Loggers, it's now, with rules, legal to do that. Legal.
I'm thinking all the area sports photographers are out there buying generic jerseys that just happen to match the colors of all the local high school sports teams for your NIL shoot when you need to be unbranded. Yeah, just like, hey, here's your just happens to be forest green jersey, or your just happens to be orange jersey.
Could be, yeah. But it's just weird. It's weird to think. And it's not going to be used that much. In small town, it's not going to be used that much.
Nope.
But inner city, I was having a discussion with my brother about this over the weekend. I said, inner city, definitely going to be used. When you got kids floating around who are pretty good athletes, and now someone who is maybe a little well off, owns a business, and they floated $10,000 in front of someone for them to represent their firm, why not? That kid's probably going to be influenced by that, right?
Well, first of all, might just kill this whole thing I've got in the cradle. Does this affect only current high school athletes, or can like former players return in representation of their former schools, or like,
well, you can't play
not representation.
Yeah. You mean somebody who's out of high school, or
well,
like,
yeah, like say somebody makes it to the pros, for example. My first thought, you know, who came to mind was Jim Leonard. Like, could somebody in a situation like that made it bigger, come back and like do some advertising and still kind of cash in on that? And now, I mean, I suppose the whole idea is that it flows through the school or it's not NIL.
Yeah. You couldn't attach the school name to it.
That's not,
it
would that's just the be, whole point is that they can't represent the school.
Yeah. It would just be you, and you probably couldn't even represent your former NFL team. You probably are just representing yourself, I would guess.
See, that's exactly what I'm thinking. Like, yeah. Is there some way I can claw some money from the school I went to if I went on to future to further success?
Former Park Falls Cardinal golfer Greg Gunderson, now available.
Oh, yeah.
Now available for sponsorship opportunities.
Once shot 101 at the Madison University Ridge Course. Yeah. Somebody's really going to be interested in that sponsorship opportunity. Let me endorse the tissues I cried into after I did that poorly at state. Like, what could I, maybe the bright yellow socks that we all wore.
But you got to shoot at state?
I did.
You had a good team around you.
I think there were like three layers of technicality involved in me getting carried to play there as the fifth guy who scored didn't count.
What an awesome experience. So.
It was great. The fastest greens I've ever played. It was funny too, because there was a picture of the team. And I don't think the person that it made it into the Park Falls paper, which I think was still the Herald at the time, technically. And I don't think the photographer intended it, but I happened to be on the course while the other four guys weren't during the practice round. So the picture of the people who made it to state was everybody but me. And it was perfect because I was the fifth guy, and by all rights, I didn't belong in that picture. But I don't think that's why I wasn't in that picture. I got Mike Wazowski'd out of it just about. It was brilliant.
So who'd you have some Dobners in with you, or who did you have? have a who were your teammates?
It
you remember?
It was Kevin Jean.
Okay, Kevin. Okay.
Blake Plumer.
Oh yeah.
Pierce Plumer, and I believe Dom Kohler were okay. And there's I feel like there should have been someone else. But I guess I got kind of bumped up. Maybe somebody was sick or something like that. But those were four really good golfers. Like, shout out to those guys. They're still playing golf really good, I bet. I mean, I know Kevin is because he just had the absolute knack for it. But I bet Dom, Blake, and Pierce. God, Pierce was that one, like, he started 2 years after me and, like, was immediately way better than me. I was like, yeah, I'm just destined to be a JV golfer, I guess. Like, Pierce Plumer, shout out to you. You were proof to me that I was never going to be very good. I was like, yeah, man, when the freshman comes in and, like, shows me what a good golfer is, like, okay, cool.
But you got it. But you got to go to Madison with the team. How awesome was that?
That was an incredible experience.
And nerve-wracking on number one tee had to have been absolutely nerve-wracking.
You know, I probably topped that drive. I don't remember topping that drive, but that's not because it didn't hurt at the time. It's just because I've topped so many drives that it just is well, pun intended, par for the course. Yeah. I know I had one good chip. I played bump and run back before I was able to make the decision that bump and run was a good idea, and it worked. I had one good chip on those ridiculous greens and a fun time in general. It was gorgeous.
My wife pointed out to me last week, I think she was watching a video or something, and she thought it was funny. If my wife thinks something funny, I always write it down because it usually is. She says she found a great way of how to deal with anger on the golf course. You know, you miss a putt or you're just chopping the ball around the course and your mind isn't in it and you just can't find it. You got four holes to play and the last place you want to be is swinging a club on the next hole. She said the best way to deal with anger on a golf course is take a golf ball with your opposite weak hand and throw it in frustration. People will laugh at you. You will feel ridiculous unless you're ambidextrous and you really can let it fly. But most of us would throw it, and that arm would probably hurt, first of all, because you haven't made that motion. But throw a ball with your off, weak arm in frustration, and it will help you with your frustration with golf.
I'm going to remember that. Like, and that's a multi-use tool, too. Like, if you ever just feel like embarrassing yourself, if for some reason you need to, like, to win a bet or something, like, hey, how much can you embarrass yourself without swearing or taking clothes off? Throw something offhanded. That's up there near the top of the list, I think. But you know what that immediately came to mind is I once read that you can't say the word bubbles and truly sound angry, regardless of how loud, how intense.
Bubbles.
You're saying bubbles, yeah. At the end of the day. Bubbles. SpongeBob is as bad as you can do. Like, you're the hardest SpongeBob character out there if you're trying to say bubbles in an angry way. Throwing things offhanded, I think they share. There's some overlap in that Venn diagram of foolishness.
I like it. We will save Cinnamon Toast Crunch Bacon for next week's show, so you'll have that to look forward to.
Oh.
And the menu will be reloaded. We have a lot of other things we didn't get to here on the... none of it looks dated, so I think we're good.
Fair, excellent. I mean, we even if things like the Wienermobile 500, had we left it for a week, that still would have been the Wienermobile 500 at the end of the day. Exactly. So is dating really an issue here?
Exactly. All right, Mr. Gunderson, always good to see you. We'll see you back in here Monday for another Gray Area Monday morning at 8.
My pleasure.
Joel Karnick here, Gray Gunderson there, the Gray Area. Listen to 98qcountry.com under podcasts for previous shows.
Lugger United Booster Club is proudly supported by A&W of Phillips, serving all-American food where the food's as good as the root beer. A&W, always a supporter of Northern Wisconsin communities.
Get the free Civic Media app and text us your birthdays, anniversaries, and requests. Download the Civic Media app on your Android.